This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good afternoon and welcome into Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, joining you for the next 3 hours on this very fine network of ours to live bet some baseball, college baseball, U.S. Open golf with you. We got everything going on this weekend. The Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, all tied up. Lots of action to get to. We're going to give out some baseball bets in a few minutes here with these games about to begin. But Will, let's start with, how you doing today, bud?
You're the only one that asked me. I appreciate it so much. Yeah. I'm doing okay. Nice baseball slate. It's it's a double-edged sword from our perspective because it's not like we're sitting here 4 o'clock Eastern with nothing to talk about, but they cram everything at 4 o'clock where you're just trying to keep track of like what you like and the different stats and the different matchups. It's not really spaced out well, but you'd rather have more than not enough. So excited to break down this slate. Should be a lot of fun.
Agreed. It's a lot happening here in this 4 o'clock Eastern slate. So let's get those bets in for the folks listening. And we're going to start with the White Sox Rangers. Pretty hefty difference here on the money line. Rangers almost a minus 300 favorite in this one. White Sox plus 240, a low total though of 7.5. You do have a play in this one though.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get to the $3 favorite. I thought about including Texas and just using it in a moneyline parlay with OKC and try to get it down. And not quite even money, but like $1.30, $1.40. I don't mind that. DeGrom's been really good. Not the same video game velocity, strikeouts. He's not just blowing people away, but he's been super effective. So I played White Sox first inning under a half hit, so no hits in the first inning, minus 125 at DraftKings. That starts soon. That's one where, look, you could lose it right away. You could lose it on a bloop single, first pitch. It's an instant action sort of bet, but I did bet it, a small bet. But looking for ways to play Texas, I think, is tough because, again, it's hard to lay $3. Their bullpen's not in great shape going forward. The first five is just juiced. If you want to lay a half a run, that's still juiced. I don't know that the White Sox score much or at all. So, you know, if you want to have the guts to play the team total under 1.5 for the first five, you're laying a pretty penny there. But I think DeGrom pitches well here. I don't like this White Sox lineup much. They're improved. They put the ball in play more. They're not the horror show they were last year as a team, but still obviously not a good ball club. What are you looking for with this game?
This game, I actually don't have a play. I was trying to find a way to back DeGrom, even though he is due some negative regression here. His outs line is juiced minus 210 to the over 17.5. I also was thinking about fading his K prop line just because I thought it was a little bit too high, but the under 7.5 is juiced to minus 160. So if anything, I would probably do a Rangers first five team total over 2.5, but I'm actually staying off this game. One game I do have a play on, though, is the Angels at the Orioles. I played LA first five on the money line at plus 125. I know I have done nothing but kind of beat up on Tyler Anderson, but when you look at the two pitchers here, he and Tomoyuki Sugano for the O's actually have pretty similar numbers. So I don't think the gap in the moneyline prices should be this big, especially when you look at the O's offense. They rank dead last in almost every hitting metric against lefties. And the last time Tyler Anderson played them, he gave up just one earned run in five innings. That was in May. Meanwhile, the Angels offense ranks top 10 in weighted on base average against righties over the past month. So I think this game should be a little bit closer than it is. So I played the Angels to win the first five. What do you think?
Didn't play the game. I thought about under 5.5 for the first five. I thought that was lofty. Like you said, Orioles, bad numbers against lefties. Anderson's not a prototypical lefty. He just doesn't have that great swing and miss stuff. You look at him and you wonder how he gets people out. But he's been effective despite the lack of velocity. I think part of it is these guys today throw so hard. Everybody, bullpen, starter, every arm you see is 97, 98 plus. And he comes in throwing 88. He could throw slower and slower. So it just throws off the timing. I think there's something to be said for that. There's some effectiveness with that. Keep in mind with this game, I think there's some weather potentially where if you're playing over strikeouts, over hits allowed, anything with overs, be careful because, depending on when the rain hits, you get that third, fourth inning delay and you get like an hour plus delay, your pitcher's probably not going back in. So be careful playing the overs with pitcher stuff. But I would lean towards the first five under, but nothing else for me.
Yeah, good call on watching the weather. We have a lot of weather alerts kind of from the Midwest to the East Coast today. So make sure you're checking those weather reports. We already have a game in a weather delay today, Rays at Mets. So just make sure you're keeping up to date with those before you actually wager anything. Minnesota-Houston is another game you had a wager on. That one begins at 4:10 Eastern. And it looks like these money lines have actually swapped. Minnesota was the slight underdog, minus 102, just a couple hours ago. They're now the minus 112 favorite. Houston's now minus 105. But a close game expected, nonetheless. What are you expecting here?
Brown's been awesome. Ryan is really good. Not quite as good as Brown, but the Astros lineup just hasn't been... You know, you think of the Astros, you think of offense, you think Alvarez and Altuve and years past some of the great lineups they had. That's just not the same. That's just not who they are now. It's just not the same team. Twins have swung the bats better than Houston. So I like the Astros starter better. I like the Twins bats better. To me, it's a wash. I know people are going to look at it and say, man, I can get Hunter Brown for as great as he's been at a pretty cheap price. I get that. I wouldn't argue if you bet Houston on the first five money line. I understand that. I did play under 3.5 in the first five. Minus 125, and I did lay more juice, like -$1.70 or so, played under 2.5 in the first three. You know I like these first three unders when you get two good pitchers. To me, this is, you know, 1-0 after five, 1-1 after five. I just think this is a low-scoring game. I think both teams struggle to score. I don't like playing the full game overs because once you get in the bullpen, who knows, although the Twins' bullpen is outstanding. But I think we're going to have a low-scoring start here. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a 1-0 or 2-1 type of game. No feel on the side. Would lean Houston, but I do like the under here, first five and first three.
I agree with you. I like the under 7 in this game. I am seeing some 6.5s, although I think that's fair. I would not bet the under 6.5 because 7 is the most key number in baseball total. But, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, I would have bet Minnesota if you – got it at the earlier price of anywhere from plus 105 to minus 102, because right now their offense does rank better than Houston's over the past month, and their bullpens are both, you know, they're about even. Now that we've seen those lines kind of flip, it depends how far this line moves on Houston, but I kind of see it as a coin flip game, honestly. So, you know, kind of just pick whichever side you want at this point, but I like the under. I see it as a low scoring game. Joe Ryan and Hunter Brown have both been excellent this year. I actually don't even think we've seen the best of Hunter Brown yet. Plus, they're playing in a dome, so that always helps with the pitching as well. You mentioned you had one other play somewhere else. What was that one?
Phillies team total over 4.5 against Bowden Francis, who's been just a home run machine. Struggles to keep the ball in the park. That's not a good place to go, Philly. That's a bandbox ballpark to begin with. You know, Schwarber, I know Harper is banged up here, but you still have Schwarber. You still have a lot of bats there that I think Francis can struggle with. So over 4.5 for the team total. If you want to just say, hey, you know what, I got the home team. I don't want to get involved in giving away three outs in the ninth. You can play over 2.5 in the first five. I'm okay with either one. Thought about playing the Phillies. It's just a little expensive in that $1.60 range. Sanchez has been really good. I like the Philly lineup. Matchup against Francis, although the Philly lineup, you know, speaking of teams that their reputation doesn't match their stats, you think of Philly, they're another team where you think of Philly and you think of, you know, offense, a good lineup, a deep lineup, power. They have not swung the bats great recently, but I think Francis is a good matchup for them. They hit Gausman around pretty well Friday night. I think they'll score some runs here off of Francis.
So yeah, I like Sanchez in this one. So I think this price is justified for the Phillies being such a big favorite. I'm actually fading Sanchez in a way. I still think Phillies will win behind him, but I bet Christopher Sanchez is over 1.5 walks at minus 120. So even though his numbers are pretty good, the one thing he hasn't been good at is giving up walks. He's gone over this walk line in 10 of 13 starts. The last time he faced Toronto was just a couple weeks ago, actually about 10 days ago. He went six innings, gave up only one earned run, but still gave up four walks in that game. And the Toronto's offense against lefties actually ranks second in most stats with a walk rate of almost 11%. So I think he could win the game for them while still giving up some walks there. So that bet might be off the table at this point because it looks like first pitch has been thrown, but I bet the over 1.5 walks for Sanchez. Will's bet of the Phillies team total should be available, though, since they're hitting in the bottom of the inning. We have a couple more games about to begin here. St. Louis plus 110 on the money line. In Milwaukee, the Brewers a minus 130 favorite. Kansas City a minus 160 favorite hosting the A's. Those are the only two we haven't covered, I believe, in this slate that is about to begin. Do you have any plays in those two games, Will?
No, Quintana going for the Brewers. His surface stats are really good, but he is just a regression candidate, prime regression candidate with a 2.6 ERA. None of his numbers indicate that his ERA should be that low. That being said, I don't really want any part of neither of those lineups, the Brewers or the Cardinals swinging the bat great. As we have a winner here, Texas and the White Sox. White Sox go 1-2-3 in the first, so under half a hit. Cash is here. I'm probably going to go back to the well and bet under a half hit in the second inning here too with DeGrom. See if we can get on a little roll, but would be just a lean towards the under first five with Brewers Cardinals. And if anything, I would take a run with the A's in the first five. Lorenzen doesn't justify being this big of a favorite. I know Lopez has been bad, but Kansas City doesn't swing the bat great either. So A's plus a half a run would be a lean, and under 4.5 first five Cardinals Brewers would be a lean.
I like that A's play. You mentioned you were leaning to the Cardinals Brewers first five under. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I don't know. Quintana's just, okay. I'm sure you're going to look at your sheet there and say Quintana's a major regression candidate. So that kept me off of it, but I don't love either offense whether they're sitting the bats now.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you. I didn't play this game, but I was leaning to the full game under despite two bad pitchers here, because both of these offenses, I don't know what you're going to get out of them. And they're playing in a dome, which would help the arms anyways. All right, we are just getting started here on Live Bet Saturday. Coming up later in the show, Ryan Gilbert joins us to talk some Stanley Cup. We got Game 5 puck drop later on today. Don't go anywhere. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, joining you for the next 3 hours as we live bet all the action across the board. One play I gave out at the top of the show was the Angels first five plus 125, and so far they are up 2-0 on the Orioles in the top of the first with two outs and men on the corner. So still a chance to do some more damage there. And Will, your first bet of the day cashed as well.
Yep, White Sox under a half hit in the first inning, minus $1.25. That cashed, 1-2-3 for the White Sox. So I went back to the well, White Sox under 0.5 hits, second inning, minus 120. Just keep playing until it beats me. So DeGrom looked pretty sharp. They actually hit a ball or two pretty hard off him. The second ball was hit hard off him. But 4-5-6 up for the White Sox. We'll see if we can get another quick inning here out of DeGrom.
One game we did not mention yet, and it looks like it's in a – oh, I clicked on the wrong one. It looks like they're in a delay. Rockies at Braves. Another weather problem here. But Braves, no surprise, were a massive favorite in this one. Did you find any way to bet this game?
I saw this morning Strider was 8.5 Ks, and he's just not been good. 0-5. I mean, all the numbers are concerning for Strider, who's been in and out of the rotation with injuries. Started the year hurt, got hurt again with a hamstring. He was hurt last year. I thought 9 was a lot. I'm seeing most of the books at 7.5 now, so I didn't play it. I can't get to the minus 330 here with the Braves. Strider's been bad. I actually like Dolander, so I thought about, man, this is a sound. I thought about playing the Rockies, but I can't play the Rockies. Take a half a run in the first five. If you can get a run and a half in the first five, I could see Dolander pitching well. He's a big-time prospect. He's got ability. He's had some good games here. But again, you're betting the Rockies, and I love the Braves lineup so much more than the Rockies lineup. So it's a stay away. Be careful. I know people will be tempted to throw the Braves in their moneyline parlays. And you know what? Anytime the Rockies are playing, throwing their opponent in the moneyline parlay with, you know, OKC tomorrow night or another big fair, I know people are going to be tempted by it. Can't stop you from doing it, but I'd be concerned with Strider here. I didn't really find a way to play it. I don't know that this price here, I would say it's not justified, but it is justified because it's the Rockies. So I don't know. Did you have a play on this game, a way to play this game?
Well, first, I love that we were both thinking the same way, because when I dug into Spencer Strider's numbers, I was like, I'm not sure the Braves deserve to be priced this way. Am I actually going to play the Rockies against the big bad Braves? I didn't, though. You're right, because of the lineup. Although Chase Dolander, I mean, as most Rockies pitchers are, is much better on the road. So this would be the place to back them. But no, I couldn't get there. I was thinking more the over 8.5. Just because, you know, even though Dolander is better on the road, he's still not great. And then Strider is, I mean, the 5.40 ERA in his five starts matches up with the expected numbers. Like, that is legitimate at this point. And he's known for his heater slider combo, doesn't throw a lot of pitches. So known for that combo, but the fastball velocity is down more than 2 miles an hour from where it was in his breakout season in 2023. It's resulted in an expected weighted on-base average of 390 for that pitch. His slider velo is also down 2 miles an hour. And then he did introduce a new curveball last year before that season-ending injury. It's really good, but he only throws it 5% of the time. So it's not really a difference maker. So I think I would just go with the over in this one. The Braves lineup started the year off slow, but in the past month, they are back above average. They rank 11th in WOBA and weighted runs created plus, seventh in walk, so they are getting on base. I think that's how I would do that at this point. If they are in a delay, so typically that would make it even worse for the starting pitchers, so I think that kind of favors the over as well. But another game we didn't get to that is also in a delay is this Rays-Mets game. What were your thoughts on this one?
I like Rasmussen. I think he's good. I think he's really underrated. All of his numbers are impressive, and that's pitching in a really small ballpark. Now you're going to Citi Field, which is a much more pitcher-friendly ballpark. I think McGill's been good, not always efficient with his pitches, but solid, good stuff. All of these Mets pitchers seem to overachieve. They've done a good job either, you know, fixing the pitch repertoire and the mechanics. There's something they're doing to get the most out of these guys that most people have never heard of, and they're all pitching incredibly, incredibly well. I think they lead the league in starters ERA entering Saturday without a lot of big names. Thought about under 4 in the first five. It's mostly 3.5 now. I don't know. If you can get the Rays plus a half a run in the first five at a cheap price and like $1.40 or less, I might look that way, but don't have any plays at the moment. What about you? Anything you like?
I did play this game earlier in the day, and now that it's delayed, I'm feeling less confident in it, but I played the under at even odds at MGM. Because I do like both of these pitchers. You have 12 mile an hour winds blowing in toward home plate, kind of a cooler day, 63 degrees. But like I just mentioned for the other game, this delay can kind of get the starting pitchers out of their routine, feeling a little wonky. So not sure I would give it out as an official play at this point, but I did play the under. So fingers crossed. Hopefully Rasmussen and McGill, you know, aren't affected too much by the delay and give us some results like they have to start the season. All right. So I think we touched on all of these 4 o'clock games so far. Let me get into some score updates here. Cardinals Brewers, St. Louis is leading 1-0 as they switch sides now. Rockies Braves just threw first pitch, so no score there yet. Twins Stros are in the bottom of the first, no score there. White Sox Rangers just began the top of the second, no score. Blue Jays Phillies just finished the first inning, no score there. Pirates, Cubs in the bottom of the eighth, Chicago leading 2-1, and Angels Orioles now in the bottom of the first, O's with a man on second, but that score is still 2-0 Los Angeles. So doing off to a good start with my first five money line on the Angels there. Will, have you been watching any of this U.S. Open?
I have. I have Victor Hovland. I tweeted yesterday, I feel bad for Victor Hovland. The poor guy doesn't even realize that he has no shot because I have money on him. And not the best start to the day. I just keep, if I'm not watching the actual tournament, the actual coverage, I'm looking at the odds and I see that he has dipped now to 10-1, about double what he was, you know, maybe an hour or so ago. I think he came into the day 550. So we got Burns plus 330. Spawn, who's just been solid, steady as a rock, plus 450. Everyone keeps waiting for Scheffler to make a run. He is down to plus 850. He's about to be six shots back. He's lurking. He's always lurking. Hovland was moved up to 9-1 just now. So Griffin 10-1, and I think 5 back now for Scheffler. So Scheffler, is that enough for you at 8-1? They never give you what feels like a fair price, but then a lot of times you look up and say, man, that 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, whatever it was that I didn't think was enough. Well, maybe it was enough because he ends up winning a lot of these tournaments. So I'm rooting for Hovland. Do you have any skin in the game? Anyone you would jump in live based on what you're looking at now?
Well, I made a few live plays after round one. Let's see. I have some on Brooksy. I do have some on Hovland. I took some live on Ben Griffin, top 5 and top 10. What else? Oh, I had some John Rahm pre-tournament. He didn't have a good round yesterday, so that one's kind of tough. But I was big on Bryson too, and obviously that did not go well for me. But this is just a wild tournament. I was surprised after the first round to see 10 players under par. Now that we have just 2 under par and 2 at even, that is more of what I was expecting. But it's pretty wild because you can say every stroke matters, but here it really does. I mean, because one birdie can just catapult you up like 15 spots, it feels like. Someone who's really impressing, though, is the young guy, Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, has scored 4 birdies in a row on the front 9 today. And the front 9 are more difficult than the back 9. So someone to watch there. But yeah, looking at these live odds, I did not expect JJ Spahn to stay atop of the leaderboard. So props to him. He is 10th in strokes gained putting in the tournament. He's top 10 in strokes gained putting, top 10 in strokes gained tee to green. So 66 in round one is 72 in round two. Starts today with a birdie, which are hard to come by at Oakmont. So this will be a fun one. Did you see Hovland start to the day? Because that would explain his dip in the odds. I know you weren't watching live, but it right off the tee. First hole of the day, he was causing some drama there.
Of course, I wanted to get my hopes up at 60-1. When you got a guy that's now down to 5-1, you feel like you got a good bet, and all you can ask for going into the weekend is to have a chance. But it's hard to get these golf ones home, as you know. So when you can actually win them, it is pretty sweet.
Right. Yeah, he spliced it off the tee, ended up scoring a bogey on that first hole, but that's actually a good score for what it could have been for him there. But anyways, he is 2 over on the day. I'll be rooting for him as well because he's in my DFS lineups. We got more sports betting on the way. We'll go to the College World Series. It's been an exciting tournament there in Omaha. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, taking you through some baseball scores now. In the top of the 9th in Chicago, the Cubs leading the Pirates 2-1. In the top of the 2nd in Baltimore, the Angels leading the O's 2-1. So I'm still hanging on to my first 5 money line bet for the Angels there. The Blue Jays just put a run on Philly, middle of the 2nd inning now. White Sox Rangers is a game that Will Hill has been watching here. No score, which is great for you, Will.
Yep, no hit again in the 2nd inning, so 2-0 on those. And yes, I am going back to it in the 3rd inning. You can get this at DraftKings, -115. White Sox, no hits in the 3rd inning. 7, 8, 9 due up. DeGrom looks pretty sharp, so let's try to keep it going. If DeGrom can ever take a no-hitter until like the 7th or 8th or inning, we'll have a pretty nice night here. But DeGrom looks sharp. White Sox under a half a hit. No hits in the 3rd inning, however you want to phrase it, is available at DraftKings. You just go to the game. You go to half inning props, and then hits listed inning is the category. I know there's a lot of stuff. If you're not familiar navigating these baseball live lines, there's a lot to dig through, but half inning props is where it's listed at DraftKings. I know Caesars, I think Caesars and William Hill has it too as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of tabs to dig through. You kind of, like, if you're live betting, need to have the muscle memory in your thumbs to get there quickly enough.
Yes.
Before the lines move. But yeah, sometimes there's a learning curve there, but Thanks for taking us through that. Minnesota, Houston, still scoreless in the second inning here. And the A's leading the Royals 2-0.
Damn.
In the middle of the second. Cards leading the Brewers 1-0 in the bottom of the first here. Rockies, Braves still scoreless, bottom of the first, although Atlanta has just loaded the bases. No outs. So Chase Dolander already off to a tough day.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you could sit here and say, oh, you know, I don't want to lay this number with Strider. Dolander is better than, you know, maybe people might think at the end of the day, you still have to bet on the Rockies. And if you're betting on the full game, you have to hope for the Rockies bullpen can close it out. It's a dangerous adventure. They've actually played, I don't want to say they played better, but they've been somewhat more competitive. They had a comeback win against the Giants that actually cost me a bunch of money on Thursday. They were up 4-1 against the Braves last night before they lost 12-4. So they've been okay. I mean, they're still just a dreadful, dreadful baseball team, and you get them away from Coors. They don't swing the bats nearly as well. So Braves looking to score early. That, man, I feel like I left one on the board here. I talked about the A's plus a half a run in the first five. I didn't really like Lorenzen. I like the A's bats. That was one that I kind of wish I'd pulled the trigger on, obviously.
We both bet the Rockies under win total for the month of June. How nervous were you when they started 3-1?
Is that what it was? Yeah, it was, because they lost the first game of the month, I think, to the Mets, and they won they swept the Marlins, and I think they only have one win since. I was a little nervous. I was, you know what, I might lose this one, but you know how it goes with the Rockies, because I bet it last month too, and they won the first game of the month, and they were like leading in the second game, and they came nowhere close. So, you know, even if it's not looking great, they're always capable of just losing the next seven or eight, and then all of a sudden the math looks a lot better. So I was nervous. I didn't quite chalk it up as a loss. I'm still nervous somewhat. I mean, we could still lose the bet. I haven't mapped it out in terms of where we are. I think we're probably the favorite right now. What we're basically halfway through the month, and there's only four wins. So we're in good shape. So I feel pretty good. Braves can win today and win tomorrow again. We can just look, when you lose four, five, six in a row consistently, it's hard to get to the 10 wins. They went into the month with, I think, less than 10 wins. So I think we're still in good shape here.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at their schedule right now. So let's say they lose today. Tomorrow they face Chris Sale. Then they have four games against Washington, three against Arizona, three against the Dodgers, three against Milwaukee. So maybe some of those Nats games, some of those Brewers games, they don't have the pitchers listed, but I still feel okay. Gosh, how pathetic is
that? We're in good shape. We're in good shape.
The under 9.5. Let's go. I want to pivot to college baseball here because we do have a game going on in Omaha. UCLA and Murray State in the bottom of the seventh here with the Bruins leading 6-2. Murray State came into this game a plus 180 dog. UCLA was minus 238, although they did have two pretty good starters coming into this one, although Murray State starter today, Nick Shutt, gets just torn apart. He goes five innings, allowing six earned runs on eight hits, only three strikeouts, and he had come into this game averaging 9.4 strikeouts per nine innings. UCLA just emptying out the bullpen here. They are on their fourth reliever, it looks like. And then later on today, we have the big game of the two World Series favorites, LSU at Arkansas. With LSU a slight underdog here, Arkansas minus 120. But do you have any bets, whether it's futures or on the games in the World Series, Will?
Looking at these two pitchers in the game tonight, I would play the under at, I know it was nine when I last looked, maybe a half hour or so ago. I would still probably look that direction. I think it'll be hard to get to 10 runs. That's a ballpark that plays big. It's a pitcher's ballpark, a lot of foul grounds, deep fences. So I would look towards an under there. It's always dangerous playing an under with metal bats, but this has been an under tournament the last few years. I'm rooting for Murray State. I just, eventually it strikes midnight for Cinderella, and it looks like that's the situation. Plus, if Murray State loses this, I think they have to play the loser of LSU, Arkansas, and then that becomes an elimination game, which is obviously going to be very tough for Murray State. So, all good things come to an end. Hopefully this isn't the end for Murray State. It's been such a great story. I saw their ballpark On campus only contains like 600-700 people. And if you see the stadium, you're like, how does it even contain 600-700 people? It just looks like basically a high school field. The head coach has to mow the grass. I mean, it's just a feel good Hoosiers type of story, but that stuff, eventually water finds its level and you go up against the big boys and, very rarely does Cinderella win the tournament, whether it's college basketball, college baseball, really any of these sports. So rooting for Murray State, but not looking good to say the least here.
Yeah, it's you see Cinderellas in March Madness, but really rare to see the Cinderella in the College World Series because it's so dominated by the SEC and ACC. But I mean, it's been awesome watching Murray State get here. They outslugged Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, Duke, which was one of the favorites. I mean, their stats stack up nationally, but kind of. Looks like it might be hitting midnight for them. I know the bullpen was going to be a struggle for them today as well because their best reliever just threw three innings in the game before. So bottom of the seventh, though, still time for a comeback. We shall see. I was thinking, though, and I think this tip came from, it came from someone on VSiN. It was Matt Grissom or someone else. But the loser, I can give props to someone at VSiN. The loser of LSU Arkansas, bet them to win the World Series, especially if it's Arkansas. Okay. So I think that's what I'm going to do today. I think I will bet LSU. They should still be plus 250 to win the tournament. And then I'm kind of hoping Arkansas loses, their odds get longer, and then they have the depth to make a comeback in the tournament. Yeah. So that's going to be my move today. You mentioned the under 9. That is still available. I'm looking at DraftKings. It's juiced the under, minus 130. But you have LSU's Cade Anderson and Arkansas's Zach Root going up against each other. It was a classic the last time these two guys went head-to-head. This was in early May. They both went into the seventh inning. Arkansas led 3-2, and then that game went into extra innings. And I believe that one did go under. So should be a good game tonight. Quick update here on the U.S. Open now. Sam Burns and J.J. Spahn still tied
all of a sudden.
Really?
8-1 last time we talked about it, maybe 7 minutes ago. Now he's 20-1. I guess he's missed a couple really makeable birdies to get him within shouting distance, five shots back or whatever. But he is now 20-1. The top three are still the top three. Spahn, the short shot now +320. Burns basically the same at +330. Victor Hovland +900, getting our hopes up, but we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm looking up Scheffler's stats here for the day. So it looks like strokes gained around the green is where he's doing really well. Also strokes gained tee to green. He's in just outside the top 10 there. Let me check out around the green where he ranks. Yeah, he is seventh in strokes gained around the green. Three birdies, three bogeys on the day. I mean, honestly, oh, really? Okay. With the variance in this tournament, it's rare you get Scheffler 20-1. What I was going to say in the last block, but totally forgot is, the reason why I would stay off Scheffler is because, we've talked about before how he always keeps his cool. He's kind of boring almost. Well, I heard reports that he was on the driving range last night after the second round, and he was getting really frustrated and kind of cussing out loud and like yelling at himself. So I thought, that's new. Maybe this is not his time. We shall see. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into the NBA series all tied up. It's been an exciting one. And keep you updated on some of these baseball scores as well. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, hanging out with you for a little over the next 2 hours. Now, we have not talked about the NBA yet, so let's get into that. Last night, the Thunder evening the series, winning 111-104, although it really didn't look like it was going that way until late in the fourth quarter. Somehow, Will, OKC wins and covers the 6 points.
And it ticked up to 6.5 in some spots. If you laid OKC -6 or 6.5 and you covered, you know what? You can't complain about a bad beat for a little bit. Maybe give a little money to charity or something. Do something nice for somebody. Buy somebody coffee. My goodness, that is a rough, rough beat. The Pacers were not only covering most of the game. The Pacers led for, 90-95% of the game. The Pacers had the lead outright. Mm-hmm. They're up by four with a few minutes left. And this is the sequence that's going to be remembered from the finals if this series goes the way I expect it to going forward. Pacers are up by four. Last few minutes of the game, maybe 3 minutes left. Alexander hits a clutch three. OKC gets it back. OKC gives it to Alexander again, and he hits a two. I know he pushed off. People say he might have walked. There was a lot of complaining about the officials. I had the Pacers plus the six, and I didn't really have a major issue with the officials. I know a lot of fouls were called, but the fouls, I think it was 25 fouls on OKC, 24 on Indy. The free throws were basically dead even until the last minute or so when the Pacers were fouling intentionally. I had no problem with the refs. I thought it was fine. I know SGA is hard to officiate, but that sequence where SGA hits two clutch shots, down four, a three and a two, they're up by one. Then they just got stop after stop. Indiana couldn't make a shot. The OKC defense dug in. Mathurin just basically lost his mind, missing free throws, fouling the inbound guy, which it's stupid because you give up a free throw and they still get the ball. I understand that it looks dumb and it helped OKC cover. When you're down four in the final seconds, you need desperation. You need to take a chance and just hoping you can create a foul and then maybe a turnover and the ref doesn't call the foul. I get the gamble. So I think maybe Mathurin's taking a little bit too much crap, and he did create a couple turnovers that led to him getting to the free throw line. But I think bottom line, and I know it's very dangerous to underrate and underestimate this Indiana team, I think OKC might have won the title last night. I think we're going to look back in a week or so. And that sequence when OKC was down in the fourth quarter, remember they were down 10 in the fourth quarter. And similar to the game you and I were on the air for against Denver in game four, when they were down by eight in game four, they were down 2-1 in the series. Same scenario here where they're down in game four, they're on the road, they're down in the series. They rallied, they answered. Now it's 2-2, five is at home, seven is at home. I think they win big in game five. I would look to lay the points. I like OKC laying the number. And coin toss whether they cover or they close it in six or seven. I probably lean towards them closing it out in six. I just think Indiana missed their opportunity. When you're the underdog and you have a chance to land the knockout blow and you don't do it, that's a very dangerous thing here. I think OKC, look, they haven't looked great on offense, but you can maybe look at that as a positive too, because OKC, I don't know if you saw this, 3 of 17 from 3, only 3 three-pointers made, only 17 attempts, which these teams shoot 35-40 routinely. 17 attempts is just not enough, so they have some issues to fix offensively. But the fact that they had only 3 three-pointers made and I think only 10 assists, 11 assists, their numbers on offense were dreadful. They made up for it by getting to the line and making their free throws. I think this is OKC's series to lose, clearly. I'm very cautious about underestimating Indiana, but I like OKC going forward. I think they probably wrap it up in six, and I think they win big here in game five on Monday night. We got a couple days off in between. So the hope of getting a seventh game in the Stanley Cup, a seventh game in the NBA is still alive, possible if they split. Mm-hmm. Everyone just wins their home games. We're going to be looking at a game seven, but a big, big missed opportunity by the Pacers there Friday night in game four.
Yeah, I agree with you. We were talking about Cinderellas in the College World Series earlier. It felt like we were trending toward a Cinderella winning the NBA Finals last night. The Pacers, if they had won, would have been historical. They were 80-1, I think, to win at the start of the season, 60-1 entering the postseason. But now the Thunder have taken back home court. And like you said, it does feel like they just won the series last night. The series winner market definitely shows that OKC minus 450 to win. The Pacers now plus 350. This game five line, OKC is a 9.5-point favorite. I'm looking at the betting splits over at VSiN.com, and it does look like the market there is leaning toward the Thunder. OKC taking only 33% of the bets, but 79% of the handle. Obviously, you want to follow the money there. Looking at the DraftKings splits as well. The public's kind of going the other way here. 77% of the bet, 64% of the handle is on the Pacers, plus 9.5. But it looks like both parties like the over. So there's that. That game tips off on Monday. And you mentioned the low assist number, the low three-point number. impressive that the Thunder came back to win that despite having not their most efficient offensive night. So, I mean, I'm hoping we get a game seven, but it doesn't feel as confident anymore. Let's take a look at some of the baseball scores again. We're in the bottom of the third in Baltimore now. Two outs, no one on base. Angels still leading 2-1. I need my first five money line plus 125 to cash there. Blue Jays Phillies just ended the third inning. Toronto leading 1-0. White Sox Rangers are in the bottom of the third. One out with a man on base. No score here. Will, you hit your first inning no hit. Didn't get the second inning live. Can you kind of explain that process again? I mean, how that's it's really interesting doing that live. First of all, is that only available? Like, can you pregame bet like the second inning no hit or the third inning no hit? Or are you watching?
The first inning is available. It's at DraftKings. So you just go to, again, it's difficult sometimes navigating the tabs. But if you go to DraftKings before the game starts and you just go to first inning, it'll have all that stuff. You know, this team to score, over under, you know, basically the Yerfy Nerfy. Will this team get a hit in the first inning? You can bet, I think, exact hits, which I don't do. But hit it in the first inning, hit it in the second inning. Then we got a little bleeder of a single in the third with a 1-2 count and one out. So that's the one thing. They feel so good. It feels so easy when you win those. But when you lose, it's just like, man, that was such a tough loss. But they hit some balls hard in the first inning that didn't get through. So I guess it evens out. So 2-1, I don't know if I'm going back to it. I don't think I'm going back to it in the fourth inning. I've thought about it, but might just take my 2-1 and be happy. So feel good about that. Scoreless Minnesota Houston, sweating that first three under and first five under. Bottom of the third here, one out, one on. So hopefully we can get that through and keep monitoring these U.S. Open odds. Burns now the short shot once again at plus 240. Spawn at plus 320. A new name has emerged here, though. Carlos Ortiz now at 9-1. Ben Griffin and Hovland both at 12-1. Scheffler all the way down to 22-1. Man, I know people are tempted. You see Scheffler, you see 22-1. Mm-hmm. There's a reason it's 22-1. It should probably be longer. I don't see Scheffler, you know, famous last words. I don't see Scheffler making a run and winning this tournament.
So let's see. He's through 16 right now. Gosh, the thing about this leaderboard where it is now like we actually have to do math. When everyone's like 9-12 under, it's so easy to be like, oh, he's three strokes back of the lead. Now right. I actually have to do some math here. Scottie Scheffler is at 5 over for the tournament. He has four bogeys, three birdies on the day. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm letting other people do the math here. Scottie Scheffler is 5 over. The leader, JJ Spahn, is 3 under. So there, you all do that math. My sister is a 5th grade math teacher. She would be so disappointed in me right now. But I'm looking at Scottie Scheffler's strokes gain data here. He is gaining strokes across the board here. He is 8th in strokes gained around the green today. So I don't know. I honestly, when he was 8-1 at the end of round two, I heard that was just the books had such a big liability on him pre-tournament that they couldn't dare make him any longer after the first two rounds. Right. So yeah, I mean, maybe it does mean something that he's now 22-1, but you know, he's tied for 20th. You could live bet him in some of the finishing position markets. That could be a play. But like I said before, like one birdie could make a huge difference in this tournament. So we'll be watching him. If you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and our guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025 NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK. That's B-O-O-K to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we hit the top of hour 2, covering everything in the sports world today. This is Live Bet Saturday.